Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host, right here on Authentic News. It's 22nd day of December 2023 on RBN Live, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. We just heard a commercial about a product in Colorado. Well, the Supreme Court of Colorado has been making big waves here in a court of seven Democrat appointees dividing 4-3 in favor of removing Trump from the ballot over an obscure provision of the 14th Amendment, which, in my judgment, has no application whatsoever. This is a truly insulting move by the Colorado Supreme Court. We've got a lot to say about it, starting with from the Epoch Times. A former Supreme Court issues a warning after the Trump ruling. He's issuing a warning to the Democrats. A former U.S. Supreme Court law clerk came Wednesday that the high court will likely rule against the Colorado Supreme Court decision to bar former President Trump from appearing on the state's 2024 ballots. Earlier this week, the Colorado High Court ruled the former president is disqualified for being on the ballot in the state because of his role in the January 6th Capitol breach. A 4-3 ruling, which is based on a reading of a provision of the Constitution 14th Amendment, is likely to be taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court. The ruling applies only to Colorado's March 5th Republican primary, but could affect Trump's status in the state for the November 5th general election. Nonpartisan election forecasters view Colorado as safe for Democrats, meaning that President Biden will likely carry the state regardless of Trump's fate there. Charles Lindau, a former law clerk for U.S. Supreme Court Justices Clarence Thomas and the late Antonin Scalia, said the Colorado ruling is lawfare and is one of the most anti-democratic decisions we have seen in American history. That poor unelected judges on a state Supreme Court have taken it upon themselves to disqualify someone who otherwise meets all the qualifications of the Constitution. He's got it right. We even have a deep state Trumper, and there are quite a few, speaking out against it. In this case, John Bolton.
I think it's completely misplaced. I think this Colorado Supreme Court decision is badly wrong for multiple reasons. Number one, the 14th Amendment provides that Congress can pass legislation to carry its provisions into effect, which Congress has done on many aspects. It has not put anything with respect to Section 3 on the books since just after the Civil War. Second, the idea that 50 different state courts can decide a question involving the highest elective office in the executive branch, interpreting the federal constitution as to what constitutes an insurrection against the federal government is incoherent. And I think undoubtedly the Supreme Court's going to have to clear that up. In terms of what the framers of the 14th Amendment meant, I think it's quite clear that the radical Republicans in Congress who wanted to suppress the secessionist advocates and governments of the southern states that succeeded would not provide on this critical question of the offices that are going to be denied to people who broke their oath to the United States, that you're going to put decision-making authority on that in the hands of the states, including the former secessionist states. That if that was their intention, they were delusional when they did it. So I'd be willing to bet a small amount of money here that the Supreme Court, if it gets to the merits of this, if it has to, will reverse. There's no other logical way you can apply this, and it would sow chaos in elections as far as the eye could see.
Very, very good statement from John Bolton. There are other never-Trumpers, Karl Rove, even Chris Christie, coming out on it. I like, of course, what we have from Jonathan Turley. Here's one of the interviews he's doing about it. This is on a Brian Kilmeade show.
The emergency management system is broken. You cannot depend on the government to feed you and your family when
it puts this on a rocket docket for the Supreme Court. They've got to get involved. They've got to get involved, first of all, because there's not much time to make a final decision. And they also have got to get involved because this is dead wrong. I think they're wrong on the law.
Yep, Jonathan Turley weighing in late last night. Colorado election earthquake as left-wing judges kicked former President Trump off the ballot in that state, citing insurrection akin to our civil war. What does it mean for the quest to be president and be number 47? What about other states preparing to do the same thing? Our only hope, perhaps, the Supreme Court. Once again, Jonathan Turley joins us now. Jonathan, I saw last night, that's as concerned as I've ever heard you last night on a court decision. It really bothered you more as an American than a legal expert, I felt. Am I right?
It does bother me quite deeply. This is exceptionally dangerous. I mean, it is an anti-democratic opinion. And it could set us on a course that would be incredibly destabilizing for our system. You know, our system is not perfect, but the one thing that it can recommend itself for is that it's been stable. It survived crises that reduced other countries to a fine pumice. And so we have a system that is built to last. This is introducing a new element. This is introducing the ability of states to effectively block the leading candidate for the presidency by barring them from ballots. And it'll result in a tit for tat. And this is something that is quite familiar in other countries. This is the way things are in places like Iraq, where they have ballot cleansing, where you have, you know, people in government tell you who's just not appropriate for you to vote for. And we're looking down that road. Now, quite fortunately, we have a Supreme Court that I think will make fast work of this. I think that they're just dead wrong on the history, on the language, on the interpretation of the 14th Amendment.
There's another report here also from Jonathan Turley. I like it. Anything even better?
You found a new hobby.
Of course, we got to skip over the commercials.
Whether or not you stick with it, we'll help remove your info with online account cleanup. Protect your
for the delay.
Yeah, thank you to him, Mark Meredith, Jonathan Turley joining us now, Fox News contributor and a constitutional law attorney. Jonathan, thanks for joining us on the week leading up to the holidays here.
Thank you.
Just looking at the map of the other states with lawsuits to bar Trump from the ballot. What does all this mean? And what does it mean big picture? Are we going to see more of this happen?
I expect we will. We may have a decision out of Maine, but there's the proponents of this, what I consider a very dangerous theory, have gone into various states in search of judges who might sign off on this. This is their first real victory. They've had a string of defeats. And many of those jurists that have turned this down have been Democrats. Keep in mind that the divided Colorado Supreme Court was actually entirely composed of Democratic nominees, but three of them refused to sign on to this opinion. And I think the reason why is that it's dead wrong. It's wrong on the history. It's wrong on the Constitution.
Very interesting. Here's Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold reacting to this ruling, Jonathan.
Section 3 of the 14th Amendment has to apply to the presidency, because if not, it's a get out of jail free card. We can't have one office be able to do whatever they want when it comes to rebellion and then be able to be seated in office again.
You say what, Jonathan?
Well, it's a curious argument, because it's not a get out of free card, because there's laws governing insurrection and incitement. And notably, Trump was not charged with that. You had a very motivated special counsel in Jack Smith who hit Trump with anything he could, but he conspicuously left out incitement, insurrection, sedition, because he couldn't prove it, because the evidence is not there. So that only adds to the problems here. But the real issue for the Supreme Court is far more fundamental and, frankly, chilling. You know, this country is the most successful and stable constitutional system in history. Now, after two centuries of that, what these four justices have done was to introduce a destabilizing element in that system. And it's going to go to the Supreme Court. And this may be the ultimate challenge for Chief Justice Roberts. I don't have much question they will overturn this decision. But they should do it unanimously. They should do it in one voice.
That is,
all nine. Not divide on this. It's too important not to speak as one.
Yeah, that is something to watch for. Meanwhile, we remember moments like this, flashback to Joe Biden on Donald Trump. This was November 2022, Jonathan. Listen.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
I'm going to ask you how you interpreted that, while I also point out that in the wake of all this, in the minutes that followed this yesterday, the Supreme Court ruling in Colorado, the Trump campaign sent out a fundraising email on the matter, including a rolling breaking news chyron. Jonathan, final thoughts on all of that?
Well, the president's remarks really are troubling because it sends that by any means message that we'll use any means possible to keep Trump out of office. No one is worth shredding the Constitution. What is being done here is dangerous. The path that was laid out by these four justices is a path we should not go down. And we should, as a united people, Democrats and Republicans, like the Democrats that dissented on this court, say enough. This is too far.
Jonathan Turley, it is always good to...
Turley, so good, so good, so good. And you look at that map, and there are multiple other states that they're making an effort contemplating, including Alaska, Texas, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, Wyoming, Wisconsin, Michigan, West Virginia, Virginia, South Carolina, New York. I mean, it's ridiculous. How many would like to keep him off the ballot? Meanwhile, a federal judge has rejected a similar lawsuit in another state. This is, again, the Epoch Times. Federal judge rejects a lawsuit to remove Trump from ballot in another state. A federal judge in West Virginia rejected a bid Thursday to remove former President Trump from the state ballot, rebuffing a bid from a little-known presidential candidate to remove the former president. District Judge Irene Berger ruled that John Anthony Castro, the candidate who filed the lawsuit, lacked the standing to sue. She sided with attorneys for Trump, Secretary of State Matt Warner, and the West Virginia GOP to dismiss the suit. U.S. District Judge Irene Berger wrote that the evidence that Mr. Castro had submitted removes any doubt that Mr. Castro's purported campaign exists as a vehicle for pursuing litigation, not votes, adding that he could not prove any political activity in the state aside from the lawsuit that he had filed. That is, in my opinion, far weaker than what we're going to get from the United States Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Charlie Kirk is very, very worried. This is a WLT report. They're laying the groundwork for an assassination of Trump. Here, listen to...
We are so far removed and detached from presidents and presidential candidates being shot at, we think is that it's this unknown concept. Gerald Ford was shot at in downtown San Francisco. Ronald Reagan was shot as president of the United States. Bobby Kennedy was shot and killed. JFK was shot and killed. Malcolm X was shot and killed. MLK Jr. was shot and killed. Like post-1990, we haven't had that happen in our country. And so we're so far removed that they make you seem as if you're a crazy person when you say this. But in reality, you look at American history, it is filled with presidents, presidential candidates, political leaders that have been taken out. And yet, as soon as the violence against Trump happens, they will justify it. Of course they will. If Donald Trump was taken out, God forbid, MSNBC would say, well, you know, you act like Hitler. Don't be surprised to somebody. That's what they would do, 100%. And they're going to not, if they can't get to Trump, if the Secret Service continues to do their job, which I pray they do, they're just going to go after the next level down. They're going to go after some of the rank and file. The man who sowed hate reaped what he deserved. That's what they're going to say. Oh, you know, he created this movement and F around and find out is what they're going to say. No, the level of rhetoric and narrative, it's reaching a boiling point because they're running out of options.
I think he's got it exactly right. They're running out of options. Trump's going to clean their clock. They knew it. They see it coming. There's nothing they can do about it. I guarantee you they're not going to run Biden. They're going to sub in Gavin Newsom. That's still the plan. Biden has no support. He's obviously incompetent. He walks in a robotic fashion. They got him electroded up. He's walking like a robot because he's following the program that they're instructing his body to follow. It's that bad. So I put nothing past the Democrats. They have become by far the most corrupt party in American history. Disgusting, bar none. A few more stories about it by and by. Meanwhile, Russia launched the largest drone attack since the start of the war in Ukraine. According to the Ukrainian military, their bombardment of Kiev lasted more than 6 hours, the most intensive since the conflict began in 2025. Of the 75 drones used, 74 were manufactured in Iran, and they were used to destroy air defenses of Ukraine. A spokesperson for the Ukrainian Air Force verified the downing of 66 air targets in the areas around Kiev. A brief from the strike destroyed many buildings, including a kindergarten, injuring 5 persons at the very least. Among the wounded was a youngster, 11 page. That's propaganda, you can guarantee. When they start talking about how successful they are in shooting them down and how they're hitting kindergartens, you know, this is bullshit. Meanwhile, this is, in my opinion, a significant development. The Senate adjourns until 2024 with no deal on Ukraine aid. The Senate adjourned for the holiday Wednesday without reaching a deal on Ukraine and will not return until January 8th. This is very good news. The Senate was initially due to break for a holiday recess at the end of last week, but Majority Leader Schumer had senators return Monday to try and reach a border deal to unlock a massive $111 billion spending package for military aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. So it's not going to Israel or Taiwan either. And remember, we're financing the slaughter of Palestinians. We are funding the genocide. We, the United States. Just disgusting. This is a very good sign. It may force a ceasefire. They're doing disgusting things. Meanwhile, Hungary vetoes EU aid intended for Ukraine. This is an interesting development. This is a U.S. news break. It's been nearly 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. Doesn't look like the war will end anytime soon. That just means there's going to be ongoing combat. But the war has been lost by Ukraine. It has been won by Russia. Most of the West, including the U.S., has sent aid to bolster the war-torn country and keep Russia from succeeding to capture the land for its own. However, when the EU recently voted on an aid for Ukraine package, a country kept it from passing. The EU voted whether to approve a billion euro, that's roughly $54.6 billion aid package, but Hungary's prime minister held out. Good for him. We'll be right back with more.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. to you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Xtendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit Xtendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com.
Extend your life with Xtendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Then we're getting a positive development. Here's antiwar.com yesterday, December 21st, publishing the General Assembly just rebuked U.S. hegemony. The significance of the December 12th U.N. General Assembly vote goes well beyond the demand for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. It is a striking repudiation of U.S. hegemony. The significance is not just in the content of the vote, but in the context of the vote. U.S. planners have long believed that the U.S. can lead the world most legitimately and effectively through international bodies like the UN. Though the result of the vote is significant for Israel, it's a context in which the vote was called that is significant for the U.S. on December 8th. In response to U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres' invocation of Article 99 to demand the attention of this Security Council to protect international peace and security, a 15-member council voted on an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. 13 voted in favor, the UK abstained, and the U.S. used its veto. Disgraceful. In response to the American veto, the General Assembly invoked the seldom-used Resolution 37778, the desperate move answered the need to get around U.S. leadership. It was a response to what was perceived as a U.S. irresponsible use of its veto power as a permanent member of the Security Council. It was a pushback against U.S. hegemony and a reminder of the need for Security Council reform and of the call for multipolarity. Very, very significant and striking. The world is losing confidence in U.S. leadership. In fact, at this point, I think it's been forfeited. After Vietnam, after Libya, after Iraq, after Afghanistan, what in the world is good is the United States doing in the world? Meanwhile, as the Gaza death toll crosses 20,000, aid groups warn the true number is higher. I suspect far higher. After 10 weeks of Israeli military operation in Gaza, authorities accounted 20,000 dead Palestinians, the overwhelming number innocent civilians with no ties to Hamas. An aid group warns the actual death toll is probably greater, again I say much greater, since thousands of missing Gazans remain buried under rubble. Israeli officials say civilian deaths are viewed as part of eliminating Hamas. That is the Israeli attitude. They want to kill every man, woman, and child in Palestine. Meanwhile, responsible statecraft asks, will the human rights movement survive the Gaza war? In its military campaign in Gaza, Israel faces a seemingly endless list of alleged human rights violations. International monitors argue the Israeli Defense Force have starved Gazans, targeted journalists, attempted to cover the crime, tortured detainees, and attacked hospitals full of wounded civilians. The U.S., a passionate backer of civilian protection in Ukraine, one would have thought. I mean, that's the illusion. The reality is we're funding it, and without our providing the bombs and the ammunition, it would not be taking place, has struggled to find the right way to address these claims while still standing by its longtime partner. The bombing had been indiscriminate, said President Biden, but perhaps it'll improve tomorrow. Killing more than 10,000 women and children in 2 months is not genocide, argues the White House, but Hamas' brutal October 7th attacks were. How much nonsense are we to put up from our own government? Meanwhile, our own Secretary of Defense declares U.S. solidarity with Israel in its fight against terrorism, and notice how they've used that word terrorism to cover everything possible, including, of course, Trump voters, conservative voices. We're domestic terrorists. They can't wait to declare martial law because terrorists are subject to instant trial and execution. In fact, they don't even require a trial. In a recent press conference in Tel Aviv, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin stood side by side with the Israeli Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant, reinforcing the U.S. unwavering support for Israel's right to defend itself. But that's all utter nonsense, too. Israel is the occupying power under international law. Israel has an obligation to protect the Palestinians, not to attack and kill them. Thus, it's only appropriate that rights groups are telling the Pentagon to withhold military aid to Israel. To protect civilians in Gaza, administration rhetoric on the protection must be backed by action and leverage. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Post on my blog at jameshfetzer.org is by Phil Giraldi, a really smart guy. The anti-Semitic movement, maligning critics by Jewish groups to protect Israel, only damages their credibility. In a 2002 interview, the former Israeli government minister, Shalamet Eloni, was asked by Amy Goodman, often, when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew? Shalamet Eloni replied, well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country, the U.S. people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. She added that there is an Israel, my country, right or wrong attitude, and they're not ready to hear criticism. Anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, and the suffering of the Jewish people are exploited to justify everything we do to the Palestinians. She's got it exactly right. There's a moment of candor. Currently, Israel is involved in a conflict with Hamas. It's described as a war, though the disparity in force levels involving a country with modern, fully equipped Army, Navy, and Air Force versus something more like a militia armed with small arms and homemade rockets suggests a different label might be more appropriate. The fighting has been constant, apart from a six-day pause to exchange prisoners and hostages, and promises to continue into the new year and probably much longer. The point is, they're just shoveling it when it comes to trying to justify the slaughter in Gaza. Meanwhile, and this is from Truthout, a Democrat-based, liberal-based outlet, Democrats are prepared to destroy immigrant rights to fund Israel's war on Gaza. President Biden and some Democrats are trying to make one hell of a bad deal. A recent vote for emergency military funding that would have traded extremist demands from the Republican Party on immigration, in other words, are all for open borders, for billions of dollars in military aid to Israel, Taiwan, and Ukraine, failed in the Senate. But now some Democrats have signaled that they're willing to trade human rights for more war funding, telling Republicans they're ready to gut asylum protection and aid in mass deportations in exchange for those billions to send to Ukraine and Israel amidst the latter's atrocious war on Gaza. That's really interesting. It suggests to me that our new Speaker of the House really was quite brilliant when he linked these funding issues together with securing the border. Very, very good. Meanwhile, in response to what we're getting from the Colorado Supreme Court and others, many Republicans, outraged by the Colorado Supreme Court ruling that Trump is not eligible for the state 2024 GOP primary ballot, have suggested similar measures for President Joe Biden. Just think of what Jonathan Turley said. Here it is, ringing loud, clear. Colorado's high court ruled in a lawsuit it determined Trump engaged in an insurrection, even though, as Turley emphasized, he's not been found guilty of an insurrection. Jack Smith didn't even charge him with insurrection because he couldn't find the evidence to support it, and therefore barred him based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which disqualifies from office those engaged in insurrection against the Constitution after taking an oath to support it. But some Republicans, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's challenging Trump for the 2024 presidential nomination, said Biden should be ineligible using the same line of reasoning as Colorado's high court because his lax immigration policy has led to millions of illegal migrants flooding into the country. I think the argument is all on the side of DeSantis and against Biden. Meanwhile, here we have Trump lawyers, the main Biden, Pence, and DOJ docs. Attorneys for President Trump filed a motion in D.C. District Court November 27, asking the judge to force prosecutors to turn over all evidence on voting irregularities and possible foreign election interference in the 2020 presidential election, arguing Trump had a good faith basis to question the election results. His lawyers said the former president was under no obligation to accept the judgment of government officials at face value, meaning when they declared the election was over and Biden won, he didn't have the obligation to accept it. And how many years did we hear Hillary complaining Trump was an illegitimate president, for God's sake? The filing argues foreign actors could have influenced the 2020 election. That federal official at time gave false assurances to the American people about how secure the election was. No doubt about it. I'm sure you can all remember being told it was the most secure election in American history, which was unbelievable nonsense. Meanwhile, Jack Smith slammed his fist in rage. This is coming from conservative underground news after Clarence Thomas handed him a crushing defeat. Jack Smith is trying to push the envelope to take down Donald Trump. One of the key pieces is in serious jeopardy. Jack Smith slammed his fist in rage after Clarence Thomas handed him a crushing defeat. The Supreme Court agreed to take up a case with far-reaching implications for the criminal cases against January 6 defendants and former President Trump. Hundreds of defendants and Trump are facing charge under a federal law against obstructing an official proceeding. That was supposed to be disrupting the certification of the Electoral College vote by Congress on January 6th. Two of the four criminal charges filed by the special counsel against Trump are related to that law. The Supreme Court has agreed to look at case brought by three January 6th defendants who asked the court to nix the obstruction of official proceeding charge against them. The case accused the Biden DOJ of using an overly broad interpretation of the law in their criminal cases, which have been used to charge more than 200 January 6th defendants. Claremont senior legal fellow Tom Corso told the Daily Wire, the Biden DOJ application of the law raises eyebrows. The Biden Justice Department is weaponizing the law to throw the book at anyone who dares oppose or disagree with them. No doubt about it. They've got that right. And here's another. You got Democrats privately conceding the inevitable after Colorado barred Trump, that it's obvious this is attempted election interference. This is from Blaze. Democrats are privately upset with the Colorado Supreme Court because they believe the ruling that barred Donald Trump from the Colorado ballot will ultimately help the former president. The message of President Biden's campaign is clear. Trump is an existential threat to American democracy. But officials in the Biden admin and Biden campaign fear the Colorado Supreme Court has undercut that narrative. NBC News, citing sources, report officials in both the White House and Biden campaign are pissed with the Colorado Supreme Court because the ruling makes it look like Colorado is attempting election interference through non-elected Democrat-appointed justices with funding from shady left-wing donors, which is exactly what's taking place. In fact, Democrat officials are so worried about the political ramification of the ruling, they hope Supreme Court justices unanimously rule in Trump's favor if and when they hear an appeal of the Colorado decision, which is going to happen super fast. Meanwhile, this is, to me, slightly odd, but then Mike King has a distinctive point of view. In the anti-New York Times, Mike King is offering a rebuttal to the claim that the Colorado ruling is a bombshell and a rebuke for the ages. As both conservative ink and mainstream fake news buzz loudly, a former with outrage letter with glee over the Colorado Supreme Court ruling to remove Trump from the 2024 ballot, the editorial board of the anti-New York Times continues to munch away on popcorn while enjoying the White House scripted movie whose ending we already know. To those who understand and trust the plan, the breathless opening paragraph of one of the slimes, many articles on this historic ruling actually reveals where it's going. How can it be that nearly 3 years after Donald Trump incited an insurrectionist to stay in office, interfering with a peaceful transition of power for the first time in American history, he remains eligible for a second term as president? In a stunning ruling on Tuesday night, the Colorado Supreme Court answered that question. He can't be allowed to run again. The court's 133-page decision said he's not eligible to be on the ballot under Section 3 of the 14th, which bars from public office anyone who swore an oath to the Constitution and engaged in or aided an insurrection. The January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol was an insurrection, the court found, and Mr. Trump engaged in it. We know, of course, that's all complete nonsense. American Thinker had a very nice piece immediately in the aftermath, debunking the very idea. Meanwhile, that there'd either been an incitement or that there had been an insurrection. Meaning after Trump gets half the Bible, RFK Jr. delivers chilling words. One man running against Trump, RFK Jr., released a statement about the ruling. Even though he's Trump's rival, he was deeply upset about the decision and issuing a serious warning about what this might do to our country. From Fox News, If Trump is kept out of office through judicial fiat rather than being defeated in a fair election, his supporters will never accept the result. This country will become ungovernable. Kennedy, who initially launched a Democrat primary challenge to Biden in April before switching to an independent bid in October, when any candidate is deprived of his right to run, the American people are deprived of their right to choose. Well said. Well said. Meanwhile, we have 19 attorneys general filing a SCOTUS motion to stop Jack Smith dead in his tracks. Good for them. Finally, a coordinated effort to stop Jack Smith, or at least halt his advances. WLTR recently reported Attorney General Edwin Meese's effort to nullify Jack Smith's legal actions by calling into question his very legitimacy as a special prosecutor. Now we're seeing 19 conservative attorneys general fire a SCOTUS brief to halt Jack Smith's attempt to hastily remove any question of Trump's presidential immunity. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is among the signatories to the brief, as is Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. They are on the right track. All of this is exposing what the Democrats are doing. Meanwhile, and this, get this, the creator of Goodwin, this is on Common Dreams, another Democrat website. The creator of Goodwin's Law says it's okay and necessary to compare Trump to Hitler. Those of us who hope to preserve our democratic institution need to underscore the resemblance before they enter the twilight of American democracy. This is about as absurd as it gets. The creator of Goodwin's Law, an adage that says Adolf Hitler comparison will become increasingly likely as internet arguments drag on, argued in the Washington Post op-ed Thursday, that would be yesterday, that his rule in no way discredits efforts to draw parallels between the Nazi dictator and former President Trump. Those of us who hope to preserve our democratic institution need to underscore the resemblance before we enter the twilight of American democracy. Talk about bullshit with a capital B, just embarrassingly bad. Meanwhile, we have the 1980s TV star John Schneider telling Biden, I believe you are guilty of treason and should be publicly hung. Your son, too. I like that. At least it's a spirited expression of symbolic import as to where things stand. Meanwhile, a black man wearing a N:GG:S for Trump shirt, Donald Trump returns to Twitter and shows his mugshot. There are a hell of a lot of blacks, a hell of a lot of Latinos who are right there pitching for Donald Trump. And they're on the right track. Meanwhile, Jason Whitlock has a letter to black Americans explaining the real purpose of made-for-TV racial conflict. Here we come from Blaze Media again. Dear black people, we are being lied to and set up. The mainstream media, Democrat politicians, social justice activists, and perhaps even your church pastor have led you to believe America is in the midst of a racial conflict similar to the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement. They have pitted us against the Proud Boys, the KKK, rural militia groups, and Trump supporters in a made-for-TV race war. Just 5 years after Barack Obama completed 2 terms as president of the United States, we're supposed to believe that America has been overrun by violent white supremacists determined to reinstate segregation, Jim Crow laws, and maybe even slavery. Wow, has he got it right? That's completely brilliant and on point. Meanwhile, the Harvard president is stunned by D.C. move. Her scandal gets even worse. She, of course, is an affirmative action appointee. She has very few publications. She really does not have a distinguished academic record. The accusations are mounting. Some call for her resignation. Now her problems have got much worse as House Republicans become involved. From the Daily Wire, the GOP-led House widened an investigation into Harvard University with a new line of inquiry regarding plagiarism allegations leveled at the school's president, Claudine Gay. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
A few more stories before we conclude our pre-Christmas reports. The Military Times report. Defense bill grants Native American veterans more paths to advocacy. An organization representing Native American veterans is set to receive a congressional charter after a nearly 20-year effort, making it the first ever Native American dedicated group recipient and the first of any veterans group to receive a charter in almost 15 years. The charter for the nonprofit National American Indian Veterans was included in the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act. The National Defense Policy Bill passed through Congress last week, headed for the desk of President Biden, who's expected to sign it. Well, I have friends who are Native American veterans, and I admire them. I think that's just terrific. Here's something of interest. The Navy has its first giant robotic submarine, believe it or not, coming from Defense One. And another, Air Force awards 12 distinguished flying crosses for the Kabul airlift. Now, think about it. I think that the evacuation of Kabul was very much on an order of evacuation from Saigon. It was catastrophic. It was poorly carried out. But nevertheless, the Air Force is awarding 12 distinguished flying crosses and 4 bronze stars. But it was botched at the highest level. I don't fault the lower ranking officers and NCOs who had to carry out the task. This was botched at the highest level in Washington, D.C. and the DOD. In the latest round of awards for the Kabul airlift, Air Force Air Mobility Command approved 12 distinguished flying crosses, 4 bronze stars, 208 air medals, and 73 meritorious service medals to air crew and other personnel who threw in and out of the chaotic scene at Comet Karzai International Airport in the final days of August 2021. The 12 DFCs, the highest award in the U.S. military for action during flight, will go to aircraft maintenance troop loadmasters, especially trained security personnel known as Ravens, medical specialists, and tanker air crews. Most of the decorations were awarded with combat devices. One of the Bronze Star Medal included a Valor device, the Air Force said in a press release. Well, we can think of these as Christmas presents, and I'm not suggesting they're undeserved, but it's a bad situation we were in. Meanwhile, if you hear of attacks on Jewish synagogues and the like, be suspicious, because the ADL does these things all the time. There's FBI claiming bomb threats to Jew communities there to come from outside the U.S. Don't you believe it? It's the ADL. I'll be right back and take your calls.
Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.